All right. So this morning is going to be our final class in our discussion of the Rambam's section of Mishneh Torah, not because we finished it, but I won't be continuing it. So I wanted to, for the last class here, talk about something which is more of a conceptual conclusion, maybe, to a lot of the things that we've been talking about. And I apologize that I don't have the normal source sheets that I have, but the copy machine was out of ink until, like, right before I had to leave on Friday, and then I've just made copies of one page, which we may or may not see inside. It's just a photocopy of one piece in the Maharal, in the Tiferes Yisrael, which we may or may not read inside, depending on how we go time-wise. But, so I wanted to basically preface this class on the following somewhat summary, which is that we've been discussing a lot of ideas of the nature of the process of Torah Shebaal Peh and the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, the role of Beis Din in Torah Shebaal Peh, the halachic ramifications of that, and the significance of that in how the Torah Shebaal Peh functions. And one of the central things that we've seen is that Torah Shebaal Peh is really defined by the Kabbalah, by the receiving end of Torah Shebaal Peh, that the Beis Din that receives Torah Shebaal Peh from the previous Beis Din defines Torah Shebaal Peh for that iteration of Torah Shebaal Peh. And Torah Shebaal Peh is defined and redefined by each iteration of the Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Beis Din is the source, Ki Mitzion Teitze Torah, that the Beis Din, as the custodians of Torah Shebaal Peh, are actually also the ones who shape and define Torah Shebaal Peh, and that Torah Shebaal Peh is a dynamic process in which the Torah stays alive and becomes immediately applicable to all times and all places through that development within the construct, within the context and the definitions that Torah Shebichsav and the basic rules of Torah Shebaal Peh give, but that the Torah has a certain amount of the Torah Shebaal Peh has a certain amount of redefinition for each generation, how it is applied to that generation by the Chachamim and by the Beis Din of that generation, the halachic ramifications of that we discussed. But I wanted to just kind of, somewhat of a capstone here, discuss something along those lines, fundamental to what Torah Shebichsav is and Torah Shebaal Peh, as we discussed way back at the beginning of this limud, of this topic. That it's clear from the Rambam and from other sources that Torah Shebichsav is not called Torah Shebichsav because it was written down, and Torah Shebaal Peh called Torah Shebaal Peh because it was not written down, but rather Torah Shebichsav is written down because it is Torah which can be written down, and Torah Shebaal Peh is not written down because it is Torah by which its nature cannot be written down. And even before the Torah Shebichsav was written down, the Rambam refers to it as the Torah Shebichsav because it is by its nature a writable kind of Torah. And Torah Shebaal Peh is by its nature a form of Torah which cannot be encapsulated in writing. And that's somewhat, somewhat pinnacle of that idea and what we discussed last, and something we discussed last week, which was that even once the Talmud Bavli was written down and the entirety of Torah Shebaal Peh is now in a written document, and that document is now the source of the knowledge, at the end of the day, you can still only have access to that if you've learned from a Rebbe how to understand it, how to approach that lima, how to approach that body of information. There's still always going to be something which is fundamentally Baal Peh about Torah Shebaal Peh. We discussed it at a little bit more length last week. Anyone is interested. That's the basic element of what Torah Shebaal Peh is. I want to discuss something about an interesting point that we find. Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of Nevuah. He's the Av HaNevi'im, the Rambam says. He's the absolute source of Torah Shebichsav. The seventh Iker is about the unique nature of Moshe Rabbeinu and his Nevuah. The eighth Iker is about the absolute clarity of and accuracy of the Torah in being exactly the Dvar Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate source of Torah Shebichsav. However, on the other hand, we find that Moshe, in a certain sense, seems to have struggled with Torah Shebaal Peh. The beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, the Medrash that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu how to build the menorah, and he couldn't understand it, and he explained it to him again, and he couldn't understand it until finally Hashem had to show Moshe Rabbeinu the image of the menorah, and at the end Moshe Rabbeinu just kind of had to toss the gold into the fire, and the menorah came out. The menorah represents the Torah Shebaal Peh. Sorry to say that menorah represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficulty with it. Medrash says that before Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed to, or before he gave the Torah, before he was chosen, that he was shown the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in the base Medrash, part of the story that we'll skip for our purposes, but at the end, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't understand the discussion that was going on in the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, until they said that it's a halacha Moshe Misinai, and then he was happy. But then he said to Hashem, why don't you just give the Torah through him? And Hashem said, shtok, he said, you know, don't worry about it, I have my reasons. See the Medrash there, but that's Moshe Rabbeinu, he had trouble following the discussion in Rabbi Akiva's base Medrash. Rabbi Akiva is the source of Torah Shebaal Peh for all practical intents and purposes. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva is Stima Saw, that Stam everything is really through Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Mishnah, is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Nechemiah is Stam to all of the, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon is Stam to Sefta, and all of the Stam, all of the your Rabbi Meir, all of these things, they came from Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. The Torah Shebaal Peh, as we have it, essentially goes through Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have some difficulty in following Rabbi Akiva's shir. One last point, that it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, that it says that Hashem taught him the Torah every day, and every day he forgot it, and then the next day he had to teach it to him again. So, and then you forget it again, until eventually at the end, Hashem just gave it to him as a gift. So, seemingly that's not talking about Torah Shebichsav, because it's very difficult to understand. If it's Torah Shebichsav, just write it down and it's there. You don't have to reteach it. The words are there, just read it. There's nothing more to it than that. So, seemingly the Medrash is talking about Torah Shebaal Peh, and that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem taught him Torah Shebaal Peh, and each time he forgot it. And he taught it again, and he forgot it, until at the end he just had to give it to him b'matana. So we find that in some way, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to not have been unnatural at Torah Shebaal Peh. Now at the end of the day, Hashem did give it to him b'matana, and we do refer to Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and he is the source of the Masorah, which came from Sinai, but at the end of it, there's this nekuda, there's this point that Moshe Rabbeinu, for some reason, there was something which was difficult for him about Torah Shebaal Peh, and I want to just try and understand exactly the nature of that he's the absolute ultimate source of Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebaal Peh seems to have been something that Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficulty with. Just going to give the disclaimer, the caveat, that this idea is my own idea, and I presented it to Aaron Lapiansky, and he said that he liked it, but it needed a source. And I have yet to find a source for it, but I'm going to present it anyways. Everybody can just take it with that grain of salt. So, a lot to run through here to try and put things together, but we're gonna try and get a a picture of this. So the Rambam in Shmona Prakim, in chapter 7 of Shmona Prakim, the Rambam describes how Nevuah works. And the Rambam describes that what the relationship of the Navi is to his Nevuah. And the Rambam says that Nevuah is not just, you know, the Navi gets, you know, a text message in his prophetic inbox and then he just has to read that out to everyone. That Nevuah is a message. It's a spiritual energy, a message which goes, it's just channeled through the Navi, him or herself, that the Navi receives some kind of spiritual energy which is filtered through their understanding of it and then translated into the Nevuah. There's a reason that Chazal say that Ein Shnei Nevi'im Nisnavnim B'Signon Echad, no two Nevi'im have the same style, have the same idiom, because every Navi is interpreting the Nevuah through their own personality, through as unique as each person is going to define that every Nevuah is also unique. The Gemara in Megillah in Yud Daled Amud Beis, the Gemara says that, not going to go through the whole story, but the end of the story is that Yoshiyahu, when he needed Nevuah, he went to Chulda HaNeviah, who's a female prophetess, I guess that's redundant, she was a prophetess, and he neglected to go to Yeshayahu, the reigning Navi of the day, and instead he went to Chulda. And the Gemara asks why, if the lead prophet of the day is available, so why is he going to Chulda? So the Gemara says, because Nashim Rachmanios Hain, because women are more, by nature, more merciful. And therefore he went to Chulda to receive a Nevuah. Now, seemingly it's, you know, if the Nevuah is what it is, like, you know, go whoever it is, and there's some, you know, objective spirit, you know, message that you're going to get. What does it matter who the Navi or Neviah is? No, that's not the way it is. That the Nevuah comes through the Navi. And therefore, if you went to a Rachaman or a Rachmenes to get the Nevuah, so the Nevuah is going to be gentler than it would have been otherwise. That the Nevuah comes through the Navi. So that's a very brief summary of something we should spend more time on, but we have a lot to get through. That's the nature of Nevuah in general. Moshe Rabbeinu is very different. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Moshe, it's going through who wrote all of the Svarim of Tanakh. In the very first one it says, Moshe Kasav Sifro, the Sefer Eov, and Parshas Bilah. Moshe wrote his Sefer, which is Chumash, and Sefer Eov, and Parshas Bilah. The Gemara doesn't explain exactly what that means, but the question is obvious, that, you know, it doesn't say that Moshe wrote his Sefer and Parshas Toldos, and you know, Parshas Bilah, it's one of the Parshios in the Torah, so what does it mean he wrote his Sefer and Parshas Bilah? So, as we mentioned, that all Nevi'im that they had, the Nevuah that they got was filtered through their lenses. It was as understood by that Navi. And therefore, when you had someone like an Avram Avinu, was a great Navi, but the Nevuah that Avram Avinu got at the end of the day was the Nevuah as understood by Avram Avinu. And Noach's Nevuah was Nevuah as understood by Noach. As opposed to, the Gemara in Yevamos says that Moshe Rabbeinu looked through an aspaklaria hameira. The Gemara in Yevamos Mem Tesam and Beis says that Moshe Rabbeinu looked through an aspaklaria hameira. He looked through a clear lens, that he saw the Nevuah without any, there was no, we'll get back to in a moment exactly what this means, but there was no interpretation that went into the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe wrote down the story of Adam Rishon, or Noah, or Avraham, he was writing that Nevuah down at a level of clarity at which they themselves did not understand or relate their own Nevuah. When Avraham had the Nevuah of Lech Lecha, it was a Nevuah as interpreted through the channel, the medium of Avram Avinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down in the Torah the Nevuah of Avram Avinu, he wrote it down with a level of clarity of what the Dvar Hashem was, what the Nevuah was, which Avram Avinu himself did not have. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down Lech Lecha, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, even though that Nevuah may have originally been given to Avram Avinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that down, it was his Nevuah, because he was writing it down. He was relating it in a level of clarity which the original recipient of the nevuah himself did not have. It was Moshe's nevuah. The exception is Bilam. The Sifri says, Pasuk says, Lo kam b'Yisrael, O Navi k'Moshe, that there will never be another Navi like Moshe, among Yisrael like Moshe. Gemara says, in Yisrael there won't be, but in the nations there was, or will be, and who was that? It says that was Bilam. So what exactly does that mean? Why was Bilam a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu was? So the Maharal Diskin explained that because, exactly as we've been explaining, every other Navi, when they receive a Nevuah, receive that Nevuah through their personality. And that's, so to speak, the natural channel of Nevuah. Bilam needed to receive a Nevuah for the sake of Klal Yisrael at the time. You couldn't give Nevuah to Bilam through the normal channels. Every other Navi worked on themselves to a level where they had reached a point where they had, the Rambam says, you know, two or three or four aspects of their midos which they had not perfected. And a Navi had to be at an incredibly high level to receive Nevuah, because Nevuah is coming through their personality, through who they are. Bilam, you couldn't give him a Nevuah like that, because if Bilam received a Nevuah through Bilam, it would become so twisted that it would be unrecognizable from what it was supposed to be. And therefore, Bilam as a gift, as, you know, going around, working around the filter of his personality, was also given a pure, unfiltered Nevuah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Nevuah of Bilam, it was a cut-and-paste job. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Nevuah of Avraham Avinu, he's rewriting that Nevuah into the Nevuah as it is in its pure form. But when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Nevuah of Bilam, it was already, through Bilam, said in its purest form. It didn't go through Bilam. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down, it was just a cut-and-paste job. He was just writing down the same exact Nevuah which Bilam had already expressed. And therefore, the Gemara says that Moshe wrote his Sefer and Parshas Bilam, because Parshas Bilam is not Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. It's Bilam's Nevuah, which Moshe Rabbeinu is just copying over. So that, but the whole point with Bilam on the side, the point for us, that the Mida of Moshe Rabbeinu, the aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was that it was a clarity which was the unfiltered Dvar Hashem as it was as it originated in the source. That it's the pure, unadulterated, unfiltered Nevuah as it came from Hashem. The Maharal in Siva Avoda in Perek Beis says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave the Torah, it says, the Navi in Zechariah says, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, says that it's called Toras Moshe because he was Mema'it himself, because he minimized himself, therefore the Torah is called on by his name. And says the Maharal that this is the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was capable and appropriate for giving the Torah, because of he was Anav Mikol Adam, Va'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, because of this Mida of Anava, which Moshe Rabbeinu had, therefore he was capable of giving the Torah, of being the originator of Torah Shebichtav, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he had no, what does it mean that he was an Anav? The Mida of Anava does not mean that a person lies to themselves and tells them they're no good. The Mida, if you actually, you know, if you're actually, you know, an accomplished person and you say I'm worthless, so then you're just, you know, you're misguided, and if you, I mean, you're just mistaken, and if you actually are worthless and you say you're worthless, then you're just honest. So, you know, if the Mida of Anava is where someone realizes that everything that I have, or whatever it is, to whatever extent they realize it, Anava is when I realize that something is coming through me, that I am a channel, I'm a medium for presenting the brachos that I was given, for using the skills that I was given. But it's not me, that I'm just a channel, I'm just a medium for presenting something else. Moshe Rabbeinu, he had no self to stand in the way of his Nevuah, and therefore his Nevuah was crystal clear. It wasn't filtered through his personality, because there was no personality to filter. He had no self that he put in the way. That's what the mashal that Chazal give means, that Moshe Rabbeinu had an aspaklaria hameira. If you have a lens, if you anyone who wears glasses right? You get a smudge on your glasses. So aside from the fact that you know, it becomes a little bit, you know, fuzzy or whatever it is, but you're also, what you are doing now is you are seeing the world with that smudge imprinted on the world. If you wear glasses which are tinted red, the world looks red to you, because you imprint whatever is on the lens gets imprinted into your vision, and you don't even necessarily know that that's happening. But you are seeing the world with whatever is in the lens imprinted and superimposed onto that image. A Navi who has his own, a person looks at the world and they have their perspective of the world is with their own personality superimposed onto that image. They see the world through the lens of their own personality, and therefore they think they're looking at an objective view of the world, but they're really seeing the world with themselves imprinted on the image. I believe that's the depth of what Chazal say, kol haposel bemumo posel, that anyone who invalidates someone else is really expressing their own psul, their own mum. Because when you look at the world, you're really seeing yourself superimposed on everything else. When a Navi looks through every other Navi, as lofty and as great and as they were, they still had something of themselves. They still hadn't removed themselves from the picture. And therefore, there was some element of an imprint on the lens. The lens wasn't perfectly clear, but Moshe Rabbeinu saw in an Aspaklaria Ha'me'iri, he saw in a perfectly clear lens, because there was no Moshe Rabbeinu imprinted on the image. He didn't see himself as being part of the picture. Just to try and put this in...
I mean, Moses certainly had a very strong personality and character and ethical values.
Well, let me just one here. Let's see if you can re-ask your question in 1 second. But just to put this into more I don't want to call it a concrete term, but into different clearer perhaps manifestation, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he saw the world, Nefesh Chaim says that in Shar Gimel, in Parak Beis and Gimel, the Nefesh Chaim there says that the reality of the world is, we see the world as if we exist, because that's the way God created us to kind of deal with our own autonomy. But says the Nefesh HaChaim, the reality of the world is Ein Od Milvado Mamish, says that there really is nothing else other than Hashem. And if we were going to talk from a perspective of just pure emes, it would be true to say we don't really exist. The whole world is just, there's Hashem and there's Ratzon Hashem. And part of Ratzon Hashem may be that, you know, we're here and we're deal with our, and Hashem gave us mitzvos, and we're supposed to live in a world where we deal with our own autonomy, but that the authentic nature of existence is Ein Od Milvado. There is nothing else other than Ratzon Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw the world that way. The Kedushas Levi says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, that Hashem told him, go back down and tell the people not to come up. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem had already told him before he came up to tell them that, and Moshe Rabbeinu had already told them, they had told them they're not allowed to come up, and now Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go back down and build, you know, a barrier around the bottom of the mountain, because the people might want to burst through the where they're not allowed to be and come up to Har Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Hashem, he says, Lo yuchal ha'am la lo sa'ahar ki at ha'idosa bam pen yarsu, whatever the rest of the pasuk is, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that the nation, they're not going to, because you know we already warned them. But the literal words say, and this Kedushas Levi says, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo yuchal ha'am la'alos. The people, they're incapable. They can't come up because you told them not to. And Hashem responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich raid. You have to go down. Because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're correct. On the level that you live on, if Ratzon Hashem says not to, then you can't. There is nothing else. Reality is Ratzon Hashem. And if Ratzon Hashem says that you can't do something, then it's physically impossible, because that's reality. But the rest of the nation are not quite on that level. And therefore, you need to go down and you need to build a physical barrier around the bottom of the mountain, because they're not on that level. But the level of Moshe Rabbeinu was that level where he saw reality as Ratzon Hashem. And that's why there was no self in the image. When Moshe, the Medrash contrasts that when Avraham Avinu said, Anochi Afar Va'efer, that I am dust and ashes, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, what he said was, Nachnu Ma. He says, what are we? We're nothing. That Afar Va'efer, you know, we're dirt and ashes very low, but at the end of the day, they're still there. They're still a mamashos. There's still an existence to them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Anachnu Ma. We're not really anything. We don't really exist. There's really nothing to us. We're nothing. And that was the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, was where he realized that in the reality of things, that Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing else other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he removed himself from the picture. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give the to give a Torah Shebichsav, which is the pure, unchallengeable word of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam in the 8th Ikar, where the Rambam says that the Torah that Moshe brought is exactly what Hashem told him. So the Rambam says there that the source text that the Rambam has is a pasuk in Parshas Korach, where in response to Korach's challenge, right before the earth opens up, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bazos teidun," that Hashem sent me, "Ki Hashem shalachani laso," says Kol Ma'asam Ha'ila, "Ki lo mi libi." All right, that through this you shall know, ki lo mi libi, that this was not from my lathe. So, what exactly is the Rambam seeing in that pasuk? What exactly is the significance of that? That's ki lo mi libi, that the source of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was exactly what Hashem had told him without any changes through Moshe himself, is ki lo mi libi. So, the lathe is, we find, the conceptually represents a number of things, is the spiritually the source of it, the home of a number of things. The lathe is the source of yetzer, of your will. Chazal explain that when the pasuk says b'chol levavcha, right, with two bases, that the Chazal say b'chol levavcha is b'shnei yitzrecha, right, that it's with both of your yetzers, because the lave represents the yetzer. The Zohar in Parshas Toldos actually says that the Mishkan HaYetzer, and even of the Yetzer Hara, is in the lave. And that's why David HaMelech said, Libi Chalal Bekirbi, when David HaMelech said that my heart is hollow, it's a corpse inside, it's dead inside me, was talking about the fact that he had eliminated his Yetzer Hara, refers to his lathe being a chalal, because that's where the Yetzer is. The Mishkan, the residence of the Yetzer, is in a person's heart. And I think that it's specifically from the extra bays. It's b'chol levavcha, the fact that there are two bases, that's where the Chazal see a second Yetzer being hinted to in the pasuk. Because the Aleph represents Echad, Ein Od Milvado. The idea of Aleph is that there is nothing, there's no room for any other existence other than Hashem. Beis, the letter Beis is two, is Shnayim, is multiplicity, Miut Rabim Shnayim, that the baseline of there being more than one is two. The Beis represents that there are two things here. There's an other, there's a Hashem, and there's an us. The fact that you have a Yetzer, that you have an autonomous will, that you have the ability to do what you want to do, whether or not, that's what Hashem wants. The fact that you have autonomy, the ability to make your own decisions, that's because Hashem created us in such a way that there's Hashem and there's an other. There's an entity other than Hashem, which is ourselves. That's what our Yetzer is the source of our autonomy. How much time do we have? Sorry, I'm going to skip the next point. We'll try and go through it. The Maharal in the Nesiv HaAvoda writes that the heart, the lave, is also the location of the nefesh. The Tanya says the same thing. Says that specifically, says the Tanya, in the left side of your heart, from which the blood circulates to the body, the nefesh is what connects the spiritual aspect of the soul to the physical body and gives it animation. Nefesh chaya, that means the movement. The Rishonim say the fact that something has animation, has a life force, comes from its nefesh. The actions of the body, the realm of maisa, of action, of deeds, of our physical deeds and our physical performance in this world, that comes from the nefesh. The fact that we have the ability to do things, to carry things out and to make changes and to impact the world, That's part of our nefesh. The same point, the fact that we are an other, that we are in our own entity who have the ability to do things, that also comes from our late. No, so there are different elements of the spiritual structure of a person. There's the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. The nefesh is specifically the lowest part, which is the part which interacts with the kind of the way some of the sources that talk about these things say, is that it's the interface between the spiritual part of a person and his body. Those who discuss that even animals have a nefesh, that's why they are able to, you know, that's why they move around and they have a life force, also because they have a certain element of a nefesh.
The pasuk says nefesh chaya.
Right. So one more point in the nefesh. The nefesh is also, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, ulevavo yavin vishav, that his heart will understand, that that bina also comes from the lev. Bina is, there's different elements of knowledge, of wisdom in Judaism. There's something called chachma. Chachma is something which is external. It's min ha-chutz. It's the cold information is called chachma. Hashem bechachma yasad aretz. That Hashem laid the foundation, past tense, with chachma, because chachma is something which it's the cold facts. It is what it is. It's something which is established at the beginning when Hashem created the world, and it hasn't changed since then. Bina is how you develop the wisdom. It's the way in which, it's the development of wisdom, the maven davar mitov davar, extrapolating one thing from another, applying the knowledge as it applies to new things and new situations, which is the next part of the pasuk, konein shamayim mitvuna, that Hashem establishes shamayim with tvuna, that it's in present tense, it's in bina, is an ongoing process. Both of those points are from the Mara Mishkalov in the Pirush Agra on Mishlei, that bina is an ongoing process, that the process of understanding is something which is not external, something that's an internal process, it's something that I do myself. The Tanya says that bina is internalization, how you make the wisdom a part of you, how you take chachma and you make it a part of you. That's what bina is. When you develop your own personal understanding of that idea, when you develop your own personal relationship to Torah, that, and through that it becomes a part of you. You have your own unique connection to that information. That's bina. And bina is the source of chiddush. A chiddush is the bina of Torah, where you're drawing something out from the Torah. It's not changing the Torah. The Torah remains the same, but you are drawing something out, which is your unique chelek in Torah, your unique relationship to an appreciation of that information. That's the bina of Torah. So the heart is the source of my autonomy and my personal understanding, and that's what the lave represents. Just to connect it back to exactly what was going on with Korach. Korach accused Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach was a gadol. If you read who Korach was one of the Levim who were the Nosei Ha'aron. He was one of the leaders of Shevet Levi. He was a person who spiritually was a person of tremendous stature. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, and Korach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're here making all of these decisions and you're going to claim that this is, you know, objectively what Hashem wants. I'm also a great person. And I know that I still have a lave. I know that I still have my own negiyas and my own way that I understand and relate to the information. And that shapes and affects the way that I understand things. And says Korach to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the same. No matter how great you are, there's still, you know, your personal interpretation going on here. That's in your. So when Hashem gives you a tzivoy, it's colored by how you want it to be, and therefore your brother will be the Kohen Gadol, and your nephew will be this. And Korach accused Moshe Rabbeinu that there was not intentionally, but there were. I can't be bound, Moshe Rabbeinu, to your interpretation of things, because that's, you know, maybe Hashem is giving it through you, but like that. But that's being colored by how you see it, and it's not fair. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response was that this simin that I'm about to do, this nace that is about to happen, is going to demonstrate that Hashem tzivani lasos is kol masim ha'ela kilo mi libi, that did not come from my lave, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I don't have that personal involvement, that Moshe Rabbeinu was at a madriga where there was no him involved in the situation. The Meshech Chachma says in his Hakdama Deshmos that when Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of Matan Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Bechira. He reached a point where he had no more autonomous will to do anything other than Ratzon Hashem. Like we said before, he saw reality as being Ratzon Hashem. There was no lave in Moshe Rabbeinu's decisions. And therefore he says to Korach, ki lo mi libi, and that's the source, the Rambam says, of the eighth ikar, of the fact that the Torah is the absolute clarity of what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. There is no interpretation, there is no filtering that goes into how that Dvar Hashem translates itself into words. And that's the nature of what Torah Shebichsav is. Torah Shebichsav is objectively defined exactly what it's supposed to be without any touch of human understanding involved in what the exact Dvar Hashem was, what the absolute pure representation of the Dvar Hashem was. And therefore, Torah Shebichsav has everything in it. It is the pure Dvar Hashem is represented in that. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the absolute source, the Av, the Adon Kol HaNeviim, the absolute source of all Nevuah, was Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's the Madrega that he had, where he was Mevatel from himself, this Bechina, this aspect of Lave, of his own involvement in the situation. The Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnah, says that Dinim, which are learned through Koach HaIyun, from working through Torah and working to come to an understanding, that's the Midah of Bilvavcha, that's the Midah of the understanding of Torah that comes through your lave. And we do have a couple minutes, so we'll see really quickly just the underlying section. I was going to go through the whole piece, but just the underlying section of the Maharal. The Maharal really says this very, he says that he's discussing why it is that when Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah on Har Sinai, the Medrash says that the daytime was when he taught him Torah Shebichsav, and the nighttime was when he taught him Mishnah and Talmud, when he taught him Torah Shebaal Peh. And not to get into the whole how the Maharal explains the whole thing, but if you just skip to the underlined part, or really one line before, it says Lafiga Chayashone Etzem HaMitzvah, the Etzem HaMitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah, Shehi Torah Shebichsav Bayom, that the essence of the mitzvah, which was the Torah Shebichsav, that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught during the day. Aval Torah Shebaal Peh She'enu Rak Eich Ya'aseh HaMekabel Hu HaAdam HaMitzvah. But the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is, how does the person who is receiving the Torah, how does he apply it? How does it go to the realm of, what do I do with the Torah? Davar Zehu Shayich El HaMekabel. That is something which is relevant, which is connected to the Mekabel, to the recipient. The Im Lohai HaTorah Shebaal Peh, Shehi Pirush El HaTorah, Lohainu Yodim Lasos Shu Mitzvah. If there wouldn't be a Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the explanation of the Torah, the translation of the Torah into how do I carry this out practically, we wouldn't be able to do any mitzvah. Hare HaTorah Shebaal Peh Hu Bishvil HaMekabel Hu HaAdam. The Torah Shebaal Peh is for the recipient, is for the sake of the recipient, and is defined by its reception, which is that's the Adam, which is mankind, which is Klal Yisrael. That the Torah Shebaal Peh is defined by the fact that it is tailored to the recipient. It's because it was received and processed through the Havana, through the understanding and the appreciation of man, of Beis Din, that is where the koach of Torah Shebaal Peh rests. It's the koach ha'iyun. It's my ability to look at it through my own lenses, through my own personality, through my own personal connection to that aspect of Torah. That is the koach of Torah Shebaal Peh. The madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah Shebichsav was that he was totally removed personally from influencing what the Torah said. And that's why he was uniquely qualified to be the conveyor of Torah Shebichsav, because Torah Shebichsav is the Etzem HaMitzvah. It's the essence of what it is, unadulterated, unfiltered, uninterpreted by any touch of mankind. That's what Torah Shebichtav is. But that exact same reason is possibly the source of Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty with Torah Shebaal Peh, because Moshe Rabbeinu was mevatel, nullified from himself, this bechina of lave, it was ki lo mi libi, that same exact point was a weakness, so to speak, in Torah Shebaal Peh, because Torah Shebaal Peh is entirely from your lave. It's the bina of Torah Shebichtav, that the bina is what Torah Shebaal Peh is. This is the understanding, the development of the knowledge of Torah Shebaal Peh, which comes from the lave. It's the personal input into the Torah. It's the application, which involves a personal investment into the Torah. And it's that which Moshe Rabbeinu, the loftiness of Moshe Rabbeinu, the elevation of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not a lacking in Moshe Rabbeinu. He was above that level where there was a personal investment because he had removed himself. He was on such a hakara, such a recognition of the madrega, of the lack of his own place, that he didn't have that involvement, that personal investment there's no development in Torah. It's objective Ratzon Hashem. That's all there is to it. That's the objective emes, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and a mitzvah, and he wants us to live in the world with our own input into the world. We're supposed to use our bechira to do Ratzon Hashem. That is developed through the lave. That's through a person's personal connection to Torah. And that's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why Torah Shebaal Peh dafka has to go through a Beis Din. It has to go through iterations of transmission from one door to another door, and it's defined by that door as they receive it and as they apply it, because that is what Torah Shebaal Peh is the makabel. It's the Kabbalah of Torah and its translation into how it applies to the here and now through our own understanding, our own development, our own investment into Torah Shebaal Peh, into the Torah. And that's the essence of what Torah Shebaal Peh is. It cannot be written down because it's a Torah which is the Torah which is defined through Adam as they are in that time and place as they involve themselves in the Torah. All right.
So if the character of the Navi,